Praise God that Jesus is our sacrifice. You know, it takes a lifetime of theology in the case of some people to fully understand that they cannot pay for their way to heaven. They cannot earn their way. They do not deserve heaven. And the only way they get there is by trusting in Jesus, who paid the price for us. It takes a long while for some people to come to that understanding and just realize they can't earn it. They can't get there on their own. They need to rely upon someone else, and Jesus is that someone else. Praise be to God. A few weeks ago, I mentioned that this world is heading on a collision course with judgment, and this judgment is going to come from God Almighty. As we look over the world, we can see that the world is pining to get what it wants. And let me tell you, ultimately, it's going to get what it wants, but when it gets what it wants, it's not going to like what it gets, because there is going to be a divine judgment that is coming. The population of this world is somewhere around 7.7 billion people. And I just wonder how many of those 7.7 billion people have placed their trust in Jesus as Savior and as Lord. I suspect most have not, just by casual observation. I think of our own community. When we think of our community, all of Trent Hills, when we think of the churches in town, all of our churches should be full to overflowing. It's obvious that there are fewer Christians in our town, in our municipality, than non-Christians. How wonderful it would be if each of us had an example that could reach out to others. And this community, Pastor Nate prayed for this morning, that this community would receive Christ as Savior and everyone would attend. But when we look the world over, we discover there are more unbelievers than there are believers. There are people who just do not turn to Christ. Many people believe in God. They think there is a God. There's someone up there somewhere. But what they don't understand is they cannot come to God the Father and inherit all that He has to give to them unless they accept Jesus, His Son, as Savior and as Lord. People, we understand, observation tells us that when people reject the God of heaven, there are more people who reject than those who accept. And when we think about this, what the unbelievers don't understand, don't really know, is that they don't put their trust in Jesus or God the Father, Son, or Holy Spirit, but they are putting their trust either in themselves or in a counterfeit God. That counterfeit God is none other than Satan himself. And we see this throughout the world in paganism, polytheism, that is, many gods, and humanism. Unbelievers are on a collision course with divine judgment. We've been concentrating over the past number of weeks in the book of Revelation on divine judgments coming to this world. And ahead of the divine judgments, we see there are certain precursors or certain forerunners to them. For example, when we think of the fires that took place in Australia and in other places of the world, this was not part of the divine end time judgment by God, but it is a hint as to what could happen and what will happen during the tribulation period. We think of this coronavirus that's going on. This coronavirus, is it one of the plagues that's listed in the sixth seal? No, it is not. But it could be a precursor, a forewarning that this is what it's going to be like. When we think of it, just in the past couple of weeks, we've been listening over and over and over again to the news about the coronavirus. And what we've discovered is not only was it devastating to many degrees in China, but how it spread so quickly throughout the world. It gives us a message. It tells us when the Lord speaks in His Word about the judgments that are coming upon this earth and that they are going to be worldwide, we can see how quickly they will spread. They spread in this day and age, and these judgments are on the world, not just on one part of the world, but on the world in total. So, we've been looking at the seals. We've talked about the six seals, and when the seventh seal was opened, it wasn't a judgment in itself, except when it was opened, it pointed to the next series of judgments, and the next series of judgments are the trumpet judgments. And we've looked at a number of those trumpet judgments already. So if we could have the first slide, please. Now, these are the trumpets that are going to be blown. There are seven of them. Two have been blown already. God has appointed angels, seven trumpets, and these trumpets at a particular time in yet-to-come history are going to be blown. The next slide, please. We discover that when the first trumpet is blown, one-third of the earth will be burned up. If we think Australia was bad, think of what is going to happen when it's one-third of the earth. One-third of the trees will be burned up, and all grass will be burned up. And then the second trumpet. The second trumpet, one-third of the sea will turn into blood. One-third of all sea creatures will die. And one-third of all ships sailing the seas will be destroyed. The third trumpet, one-third of the rivers, springs, and waters will become bitter. Many people will die as a result. Now we're going to take a look in a moment at the next two trumpets that are going to blow. But before we do, this is a serious message. This is a serious series that we've been looking at as we've been studying the book of Revelation. There are people who don't want to know what the book of Revelation says. And the reason why is even believers don't want to know. And the reason is because they feel it is so sad, that it is frightening, and it's very, very concerning. And yes, that indeed is true. But then there are a group of believers who say, I really want to know what the book of Revelation has to say. I know it's sad. I know it's frightening. I know that it is very concerning. But my gracious God has given to us in his word what is going to happen. And we can look upon that as being a blessing of Almighty God because they don't come as a surprise. And this is something that every Christian ought to be praying to God, that we would reach out to our unsaved family members and our unsaved friends and acquaintances, and that we would lead them to Jesus, that God's Holy Spirit would be so active, alive, and well within us that when we talk to others, they would see the love of God within us, they would crave to have this love of God in them, and they would come to know Jesus as Savior. Because let me tell you something. If my understanding is correct of Scripture, when the seals are unsealed and when the trumpets are blown and when the next set comes along, the vials, the bowls of judgment that are going to coming, we will not be here. True believers will be taken up in the rapture to be with Jesus before these judgments come. So how important it is for our unsaved family members and unsaved friends to know about Jesus. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God used every one of us, each and every one of us, to witness to another person, and that other person came to know Jesus as Savior? Wouldn't that be a red day on the calendar? Wouldn't that be a time when we could really praise God? Now, let us turn to God's Word, as we find in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, chapter 8, beginning at verse number 12, right through to and including chapter 9, verse 12. So, let us hear the Word of God. As I watched, John says, I heard an eagle that was flying in mid-air call out in a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the trumpet blasts about to be sounded by the other three angels. The fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. When he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss, and out of the smoke, locusts came down upon the earth and were given power like that of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plants or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were not given power to kill them, but only to torture them for 5 months. And the agony they suffered was like that of the sting of a scorpion when it strikes a man. During those days, men will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. The locusts looked like horses prepared for battle. On their heads they wore something like crowns of gold. Their faces resembled human faces. Their hair was like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. They had breastplates, like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the thundering of many horses and chariots rushing into battle. They had tails and stings like scorpions, and in their tails they had power to torment people for 5 months. They had as king over them the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek, Apollyon. The first woe is past, two other woes yet to come. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God that he has given us a glimpse of what is going to happen in the future. Praise be to God that believers will escape that time of torment. But our unsaved family members and unsaved friends, they will be going through it. It is something we need to pray them out of. The fourth trumpet, please. Thank you. The fourth trumpet. At the sounding of the fourth trumpet, we discover that all natural light will be diminished by one third. Sunlight will be reduced by one third, and whatever light there is at night will also be reduced by one third. It's possible that this light may be, the reduction of the light, may be because of all the smoke that has come from perhaps the nuclear explosion we referred to the last time, or perhaps the burning of fires, or the eruption of volcanoes, whatever it may happen to be. But we know that daylight is going to be reduced by one third. I don't know how many there are today that can remember way back to 1965, but I can remember 1965 in November, we had a blackout on the eastern seaboard all the way into Ontario. I came to Ontario in 1964, and in 1965, I remember it. I was at work and then had to make my way home when there was this horrendous blackout. What an amazing time it was. Anything that was operated by electricity simply did not work. They wondered what was going to happen. All the lights were out. If you had an electric stove, it wouldn't work. You couldn't pump gas. The transportation in the city of Toronto ground to a halt. And we were like that for a number of hours. Praise be to God that it happened in November and not in December or January. We had a little more light at that time of the year, and we could operate. But it was an eerie feeling. It was a frightening feeling. We didn't know what was going on. Remember, even our television couldn't work, and we were quite a while trying to find battery-operated radios in order to hear what indeed was happening at the time. We've had other blackouts as well. But when this trumpet blows during the tribulation time, the light of the day will be diminished. It'll almost be hard to imagine. Just think of what's happening up to this point. We have a culmination of events, and it's only at the beginning. It's not at the end at all. Just think about it. Human life, the destruction that's going to happen when one-third of the green vegetation is gone, burnt up. It's going to be a great blow to our economy and a great blow to agriculture. Think of the consequences of one-third of all marine life being destroyed. You may not even be a liker of fish, but there are many people who love fish as a main diet, and one-third of the fish are going to be gone. Unbelievable. When you think that one-third of all the ships on the sea are also going to be gone, then can you think of what's going on right now with the coronavirus? A lot of things are being slowed down. Things are not coming out of China and going elsewhere and other places in the world because of the virus. When we think that one-third of all the ocean ships will be gone, can you imagine what it's going to do to our economy? This is the worldwide economy I'm talking about. And add to this, all the freshwater supplies and sources will have been reduced by one-third, and now the natural light is reduced. Alas, it is really incredible. You would think that by this time, many more people would come to put their trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord. But alas, they do not. Some will, but most will not. Then we read this. As I watched, I heard an eagle that was flying in midair call out in a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because the trumpet blast about to be sounded by the other three angels." When you think of it, how gracious our loving God is. He interrupts the trumpet judgments with a warning. His flying messenger comes and says that the worst is yet to come. Hopefully, such an announcement would motivate unbelievers to become believers. But let me tell you something. There are unbelievers. Maybe there are some in our midst this morning. I don't know. But I do know there are unbelievers, people who've not placed their trust in Jesus, in our community. And will they listen? Will they listen? We need to pray that God's Spirit will go ahead of us as we share and witness to other people so that they will put their trust in Jesus as Savior. The eagle who flies says that he uses the word woe, W-O-E, three times. Woe, woe, woe. For years, people have wondered about the significance of John seeing an eagle that was flying. Some translations use the word angel instead of eagle. However, the eagle could be one of the especially created individuals surrounding the throne of God that is going out with a message. Or it could have been an angel, or it could be the angel or the messenger going with the swiftness of an eagle. But the message is very clear. Whatever the exact form is, we don't know. But the urgency of people hearing and responding to the message is absolutely vital. It's going to be more vital then than it is now, but it is vital today that unbelievers hear the message of salvation and put their trust in Jesus. That's the fourth trumpet. Now the fifth trumpet. We'll see the next slide, please. The fifth trumpet. We note that the first four trumpets are directed toward Earth's ecology. There's been a great deal said in the past while about ecological matters throughout the Earth. Is there climate change? Is there not? Are we getting warmer? Are we not getting warmer? All of a sudden somebody talks about it getting very warm and then we have a frigidly cold day. I do not know what all the intent is, but I do know that during this tribulation period, the Lord seems to be reaching out to the ecology in the first blowing of the first trumpets, but then we get to the point where now the Lord is dishing out his discipline on the people who are there. It'll be happening during the tribulation period. Now, the fifth trumpet is the first woe, and it's directed toward people. Each judgment increases in scope and magnitude as it unfolds. God is really placing pressure on people to accept him. I wish I could read in Scripture that millions and millions of people finally put their trust in Jesus. But I don't see that. I see where millions and millions of people continue to hold on to their ways and do not put their trust in Jesus. The angel said, woe, woe, woe. What does the word woe mean? According to one dictionary, it means sorrow, calamity, and affliction. Now, we know that there are seven trumpets to be blown. We looked at the first four. Then the word introduces the word woe. The first woe that is set upon people comes at the fifth trumpet. The second woe is the sixth trumpet. And the third woe is the seventh trumpet, which opens the door. Let me just back up a little bit. I'll show you this on a slide momentarily. But when we think about the seals, the last seal, when it's open, points to the seven trumpets. The last trumpet, when it is blown, points to the next series of seven judgments. We need to observe a timeline. So if we could show the next slide, please. I've showed this slide before, but I discover that people can easily get confused. Hopefully this slide will help clear it up for us. Now, you can see we are here. The church age began at Pentecost, will end at the rapture. That arrow pointing up means that all true believers, if you put your trust in Jesus, you're going to go up to be with Jesus. Now, when that happens, the rest of the world is going to be left here on earth during the tribulation period. It seems the tribulation period is divided into three sections, the lesser, the mid, and the great. The Great Tribulation, we are moving toward the Great Tribulation now in our study of these trumpets. At the end of that will come Armageddon. That should be right at the end of the Great Tribulation. It's going to last for 7 years. And then Christ's reign, it's going to be for 1,000 years here on earth. He's going to establish his kingdom on earth with his throne in Jerusalem. And Jesus is going to rule, and you and I will be part of the rule. The down arrow, Armageddon at the end of the Great Tribulation, when the down arrow, that's when we are going to return with Jesus and reign and rule with him in some way. And then we get to the far right, that's where eternity is and the new creation. So if we could have the next slide, please. Now, these are the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, and the vial judgments. Notice what I mentioned earlier, the seven seals points down to the seven trumpets. You get to the end of the trumpets, points down to the seven vials, V-I-A-L-S, or bowls. That just gives us an idea as to where we are. We are not in the tribulation today. There are things going on that are very much like the tribulation, precursors to what will happen during the tribulation, but this is not the tribulation. The tribulation occurs after the church has been taken up to be with Jesus. The church is the true body of believers in Christ. We're taken up to be with him. We'll be with him forever. We'll be 7 years with him in glory, and then the rest of the time, wherever he's going to be, we are going to be. All right. Could we show the last slide, please? Now, the fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. When he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. Now, what did we learn in this passage? We learned that John saw a star falling from the sky. Secondly, the star was given a key. I don't know what your imagination conjures up, but then we read the pronoun he was used. So therefore, this so-called star is a created being of some nature. There are many prophecy students and teachers who believe that this so-called star is none other than Satan himself. And we go all the way back to the book of Isaiah when we see the fall of Lucifer, who became Satan. And Satan is the one who we believe now has this key. At this point, Satan, the morning star, receives the key to the abyss, sometimes called the bottomless pit. It seems obvious that Satan receives this key ultimately from Jesus, because Jesus is the one who holds the keys. So, John saw that star falling from the sky. The star was given a key. The star was referred to as he, and the he opened the abyss or the bottomless pit. We note that smoke rises like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. As a result, the sun and sky were darkened even more. Remember, the light had already been diminished by one-third, and now there's all this smoke. I think of the volcanoes that we've seen erupting over the past 10 years. When we think about them, all the ash that goes up into the atmosphere and the way in which airplanes have been grounded, they were not able to fly over that territory, and the way the wind carries the ash, it has a devastating effect throughout the world. Think of what it'll be like then. The scripture says about locusts, they come out of the abyss, out of hell. They are hell's worst demons, and very likely fallen angels that God has kept bound since the day of Noah. I kept thinking and talking this morning about these precursors or these warnings. Kenya and Ethiopia and East Africa has had a great inundation of locusts, common everyday variety locusts. It has devastated their agriculture. Absolutely amazing. I've read just recently that China is going to send 100,000 ducks to Pakistan. They've also been invaded by the locusts. 100,000 ducks to Pakistan in order to eat the locusts. Kind of interesting. Hasn't happened yet, but they said they're going to do so. But when we think about it, these are all the judgments that are coming on this earth. What are these vicious beings that come up out of the abyss, out of the bottomless pit? I've said to you that many of them probably are fallen angels that were kicked out of heaven many years ago and chained in the bottomless pit, and then they are released to torment the rest of this earth, the people who are there. These are going to be demons. Now, there may be some among us this morning who no longer believe in demons, but you need to change your thinking, because demons appeared in the Old Testament. Jesus dealt with demons. Demons are alive, active, and well in our society as well. And you and I need to constantly remember that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The he that is in us is the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of his Spirit. The one who is in the world is Satan and his demonic angels, and they are out there doing their part to keep people from accepting Jesus as Savior and to defeat believers. That's what his main job is and what they are all doing. But these demons are going to come in a very particular way. There's going to be a king over them called Abaddon, and it is interpreted as the destroyer. They are going to have scorpion-like stingers. I've never been bitten by a scorpion, but I'm told it's one of the worst pains that mankind can ever have. But did you notice in Scripture that these scorpions did not have the power to kill, only to torment, only to bite people, or only sting people, and they're going to be tormented, and people are going to want to die. They're going to beg to die, but they will not be able to die. It's going to carry on for a period of 5 months. Now, if that doesn't, just the thought of it, let alone the actual happening, doesn't drive people to Jesus, I don't know what else will. If you haven't already accepted Christ as your Savior, recognize who Jesus really is, and place all your trust in him today. Now, the fifth angel has blown the fifth trumpet. The fifth trumpet is further described as the first woe. There are two more serious woes to come. As we've been following parts of the book of Revelation, we can do so from at least two perspectives. I mentioned the two of them to you earlier in this message. What are the two perspectives? Number one, you could say, I don't want to hear this. I'm a believer, but I don't want to hear it because it's so sad, it's so frightening, and it's so very, very concerning. I would rather not know. On the other hand, you can look at it from a different perspective, and you can say, how I praise God that in his word he has placed this information for me to inwardly digest, to internalize, to understand, so that I will know the gravity of the situation. It is very grave when people do not put their trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord. And these times are not on us right now, the time of the tribulation, but we are so very, very close. I fully believe the rapture will occur in our lifetime. I may be wrong, but I believe that is true. And believe me, I would rather go up in the rapture than any other way. I'm looking forward to the rapture, but the rapture does not start the tribulation. What starts the tribulation is the signing of a peace treaty between the world and Israel. 7-year peace treaty, and that's when the tribulation begins. The rapture occurs before it. Whether it's days, weeks, or months, I don't know. But it happens, and it means that it could happen at any time. Let me ask you, are you ready? Are you looking forward to the rapture? Are you looking forward to being taken up by Jesus in an instant, taken up to be with him and live with him forever? Our Father, we offer praise, honor, glory, and thanksgiving unto you. We know this world is filled with sin. We know that we are sinful creatures, but we also know that Jesus came and died for our sin, paid for our sin, so that when we put our trust in him, we'll have eternal life forever, abundant life here on earth. And when we know Jesus as Savior, we then have the right perspective about the Word of God. And the Word of God feeds in our hearts and in our souls and in our minds. And we take strength because you are sovereign. And we've placed all of our trust in you. Praise you and thank you for your Word. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen.